Welcome back, and we are here now with the Shade Tree and Beautification Commission. And we have two members with us this evening. I'll turn the floor over to them, and they may introduce themselves. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having us. So I'm Barley Van Cleef, and I am currently the chair of the Shade Tree Commission. And here is...
I'm Jerome Ocker on the board.
He's the vice chair.
Vice chair, yep.
Sell yourself short. So... you probably know a lot of what we've been doing, and these are our members currently. We have one vacancy, which we are working very hard to fill. We've approached a couple of people, and we're doing some research, and we're gonna find somebody good. So, just letting you know that. All right, so here's what we've been up to. The BCA grant that we got this year was pretty significant. It took a pretty huge amount of work. The objective was to survey the neighborhoods and find those that had low canopy. And we did that with the help of Jared Lash and kind of overlapped a couple of different maps to find areas that were within watershed areas, but also where there was a low tree canopy cover using information from the Delaware Valley DVRPC. We're Regional Planning Commission. So we identified a couple of neighborhoods. We sent out 115 letters to residents, all the residents in that area that had front yards where a tree could be accepted. And largely that was identified because of...
There was no tree in
their
front yard.
There was no tree. And the way we found that out is because Jerome and I...
We surveyed. Right. We
drove around and identified those yards. And the fact is that even though the response wasn't 100% that all those people who could accept a tree would want a tree or responded back to us, a lot of people just didn't bother. But that's information that will still be good for us to have for the long term. And if we ever get a chance to do it again, we'll have those addresses and the names of those people and so forth. So it was not time wasted by any matter of means. But these are some of the areas. This is from the DVRPC map. The yellower, the worse that it is. And, maybe it's a little bit of an overkill. Sort of looking, yellow looks pretty desperate. I don't think we're actually that bad desperate. I think our overall canopy cover is somewhere around 25% or so, which is not horrible. 30 is ideal. In some areas, it's over 30. And, of course, we have the park, the national park, that has a lot of forest. And so, that helps the overall canopy. But anyway, all information just for the general knowledge of it. We got these subsidized bare root trees for the residents, and we did put out 26 trees, which is how many we could afford given the amount of money that we were given by the BCA grant. Probably could have done more if we'd gotten more money, but I think it was a pretty decent, a really pretty decent outcome.
It was a good start.
It was a very good start. And these are some of the houses. I mean, it seemed like a lot of the areas that we were able to get the responses were on Prince Frederick, which is definitely devoid of trees. And also the Valley Forge Homes is the name of the development, but it's where Powderhorn and all of those colonial names are. And we did get quite a few on those streets, and it may be not making a huge difference in terms of the looking down the alley of trees, but they will make a difference in the long run. The idea is, at least what the research shows that PHS has done, is that if you can get a neighborhood to do a bunch of trees and then make that neighborhood look great because of the trees, then other neighborhoods will say, wow, look what they did, and then it'll actually encourage other residents to ask for a tree. And we will continue to offer trees in the way we have in the past with bare root trees twice a year, so that maybe people will start to be more responsive with that. That's the idea. So, and I will say too that at least one of those residents that got a tree came to the booth, and I think you were there, the booth at the Earth Day Festival, and was just gushing that how much they appreciated this tree and how beautiful it is, and that our advice about what tree to plant and where to plant it was really, really appreciated. So, you know, I think that it does make a difference somehow. Anyway, so that was a good thing. The Girl Scouts last fall purchased 15 trees for the new Ross Park, and they did plant them. And we gave instructions to all of those Girl Scouts and their families about how to plant properly, which is kind of lending itself to the educational aspect of what we do. And so sure enough, they did plant. And here we all are working very hard on a tree. So that was exciting. Unfortunately, it was very wet the day before, and Jerry Recupido, who we bless for all of his efforts on our behalf, had pre-dug the holes, and we had to bail some of them out
because they were full of water.
Yeah, and because our soil, as you know, is very clay. So they did the best they could, and some of the trees did have to be replanted afterwards because they kind of sank a wee bit. But they all are great now, yeah, as far as we know. So, and then also part of that grant, we found out that we ended up with enough money to buy 4 extra trees because the trees were just slightly less expensive than we had budgeted for. So we got 4 more trees, and Jeff Hickman told us of a little pocket park at the end of Summit Street where they were having problems with people parking on the grass there. And so he said maybe if we could plant a couple trees there that that it might avoid that, or it might encourage people not to park there on the grass.
Okay.
And so our stalwart tree tenders planted those 4 trees. We are so lucky to have this Upper Merion Tree Tenders group. It's a very active group compared to many municipalities and parts of the city. They come when they're called, and they know what they're doing. And so this is the gang right there.
So that's in Sweetsburg.
Sweetland. I forget which is which. Land is closer to the south, right? Yeah.
So it's Sweetland.
Yeah, okay. And so those are the actual locations. Those little X's are the actual locations of the trees. And then the thing that says no is like no parking anymore.
Yes.
So
thank you.
I report people constantly when I go by there. When did you do this? Very recently.
Fall.
You did it in the fall. Because I haven't been there in a while.
You had sent me pictures,
yes,
of cars parking,
yeah,
and then we figured out how to try to stop.
Yeah. Are they doing well? Has anyone checked on them?
You know what? We haven't looked at them this fall, spring.
Okay.
Yeah, but
I'll look tomorrow.
Put it on. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Let me know.
Looks like they were planted well.
Yeah, they were planted very nicely. So yeah.
That's a win-win project.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
super.
Really
I can't much more people like, park there.
And
that?
You know,
not for them.
We would be glad to do it again if the BCA would have, you know, considered that as a possibility because
we own that land now.
Well, yeah, we do. And then there's
apparently a number
of other little pocket parks too, just properties that we own that could use some trees.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm,
yeah, there is plenty of room to plant trees in this township.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, and so just to show you that it isn't something that just sort of happens on the day of. You do have to do a lot of planning in advance. It takes a lot of time. We do use these tree diapers, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because we do pay for those. The residents, when they buy a tree, will pay for them, and I don't allow them not to have one anymore because I know. Jerome and I have discussions about these. I'm a firm believer in these tree diapers.
I just don't like the name. She's a true believer.
Yeah, I'm a true believer. I know, it is a silly name. It really is. And the reason...
come up with another name.
The reason that the name is there is because the person who developed it actually just thought she's an arborist, and she thought, you know, in baby diapers, you know, there's all this extra, what's really hydrogel that comes from these plants that make, and so why not use that for something else? And so she developed this whole concept. And the research is showing that in areas where it is difficult to water, or that it will not be watered, or you can't guarantee that the tree will be watered, this is a lifesaver. And so they have to be rehydrated. So this is Sue Ridgway's front yard where she is hydrating them.
Initially, they have to be rehydrated.
Yeah. And for the trees that we gave to the residents this fall with the BCA grant, they also got tree diapers. We delivered them a week before and gave them instructions on what they had to do. And they did. They all hydrated. One of the ladies, it was so cute, she got out her grandchildren's swimming little wading pool. And we found them in there. They were very well hydrated. So yeah, they all followed their instructions, and I believe that all those trees are probably doing really well. Anyway, and then planting is not the whole story, because maintenance and upkeep of these trees is really critical, especially during the first 2 years after transplanting. Once those 2 years have been successfully finished, the tree will have sent enough roots out that it can sustain itself pretty well. So the reason I brought this up is because we are continuing to try to get volunteers to come out to help us with the Heuser Trail, the Schuylkill West Trail, where, if you remember a bunch of years ago, when was that, 2017 maybe? We had to clear cut because of the emerald ash borer, and we planted thousands of trees. And some of those trees are really doing very well.
Yeah.
They tend to, every season, get inundated by vines and invasives. So we've been having at least twice a year volunteer days. And what we're finding is that our same stalwart 10 people come yeah. out every time and work their buns off for a morning and get quite a bit done. And it's made a big difference. It really has made a big difference. There's plenty more to do, which then brings us to 2026, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Anyway, so this is the group that came out just recently. And, you know, there are a lot of faces that you recognize because as with most things, the people who you can depend on are the people who do everything. And they overbook, but they come out. So anyway, but there we are. And I just wanted to thank Jerry Vitimo and the Parks Partners, and also Recupero and Jeff Hickman and all of you, because your support is what makes it happen.
And we work with everybody. Yeah.
You know, Jerry always puts our events out on the website and on the Facebook page and so forth, and in the e-newsletter, so that we get as many people as we can. I have a list of about 250 volunteers that I send out every time we have an event to each one of them, and then we get the same 10. So, but
not always.
You know, but they know that it's happening, and that's one thing, you know. And so that's a good thing. We get those volunteers through things like our Earth Day booth on Earth Day, or on the fall festival. So anyway, I just wanted to make sure that you know that we don't do this alone. We do this with your help, the
and
whole township's
volunteers.
Help. Yeah, and to also reiterate, I've said this before, we are so lucky because I know of many, many municipalities and tree tenders groups and shade tree commissions where they do not have this kind of relationship, and it's huge. So. Okay, we have our nursery, which we developed because of a BCA grant, several BCA grants that we got a number of years ago, and it is really doing its job very well. It especially, we found out, did its job very well today, because we received 140 trees that are going to be distributed tomorrow through the PICO distribution program, and we can talk about that towards the end. But anyway, this is all the stuff that just now came up. But what has to happen is seasonal maintenance, and we need to repot anything that is growing out of its pots. Every year we need to make sure that the water is working. We have to put a shade cover over it for the summer to prevent things from burning out. We have to remove it in the wintertime so that the snow doesn't tear the whole thing down. And we turn that into a
windbreak. Those walls, yeah.
But that's done. We get a lot of help with that from Vitas, Mesolatus, and the McCaig folks, because they have some trees in there too, and they use the trees as well. So
and we mulch and we repot some of the trees that we had from years ago were in little tubes, you know, like this. And they get bigger, and then they get root bound. We put them in bigger pot, but we try to get them planted eventually somewhere.
And they did. We've taken, 250 of them went to Sam Monteith for his
Boy Scout
project along Crow Creek for riparian buffers.
Actually, it was probably almost double that because of replacements and the vandalism.
Right.
We just replaced about 50 this spring that didn't make it through the winter. So that was in addition to the vandalism replacements. So
it's a good thing. And it works well. This is a picture of
the trail.
The trail, and this is Sam's project. And you know, we did replace 50 of these in October, using the reserves from the nursery. So, it's
wonderful.
A cool thing. And some of them are actually growing up out of the tubes. So
they're
coming along. They're coming along. Our outreach and education continues. Yeah. It's kind of one of the big things that we like to think we do, anyway. So we're always at the community fair, and we're always at the Earth Day Festival. So one of the things we do is we give out books to people who win the raffle or whatever, and it's usually kids. And so the Lorax or the Giving Tree or some tree-related little book that Sue comes up with, and she's usually the person who mans these or staffs them. Last year's, the 2025 theme was, here are things to think about before you plant a tree in your yard, and there's a lot of things that people need to think about. One obvious one is that, do you have utilities over the tree area that you're going to plant, because you shouldn't be planting a large oak there that's going to have problems, you know, that kind of thing. This year, we did something kind of neat. We had a booth that was nuts about trees, and we had peanuts and a lot of different mason jars, each one labeled with a benefit of trees, such as they provide shade, they provide oxygen, they make clean water, they prevent flooding, you know, lots of things. And people could take the peanuts and vote for what they thought were important things. And so it was kind of interesting. I think we're going to write a little article maybe for the newsletter about what the results of that were, because Sue was again in charge, and you were there. Kids thought wildlife was the most important, and adults kind of thought shade and energy. So it was sort of an interesting result, but people actually did vote, and we told them that they could eat as many peanuts as they wanted, but anything that was left over was going to go to the squirrels. So anyway, so that was the education stuff.
Let me just add one thing to the education. You know, we work with Jerry a lot and his crew, and I've Jerry Recupero, and I've done a chainsaw safety training with them, and I'm going to schedule a pruning training with them probably a little later this spring, because they do a lot of what we call elevation of trees. So you don't have eye pokers down here in parks where kids are running through the park and stuff. So everything's elevated up to, say, 6 foot. So, you know, making those kind of proper pruning cuts, those kind of things, I'm going to go over that with them. So we're doing some training and education with our own people as well.
Wonderful. Thank you.
No, that's a very important thing, and I can put that in there. So also with education, we participated with the EAC's BCA grant, which was about education on environmental stuff. And so I presented a PowerPoint training thing, I guess, called Working Trees in the Community Forest. And so it was about what benefit do trees have and how can we promote a better canopy and what good are they? Why do we want them? So, and that was in October. We are currently working on revising the web page in the for the Arboretum, we discovered that the QR code that is on the little identification tag things was not exactly going where we wanted it to go. It is going to that page over there. And there is information about the Shade Tree and Beautification Commission, which is good. And there is the Arboretum identification spreadsheet. Each of the trees at the Arboretum has been identified with an inventory and given information about its diameter and its height and its condition. That information is not available to the public, but the identification of what species is there is related. So they can see the tag that's on the tree and it'll say 26, and they can go to this web page and say, oh, tree number 26 is a southern magnolia or whatever. And that's part of the education as well.
And that was a Boy Scout project as well.
These identification posts were.
The posts were.
But the actual inventory was another BCA grant that we got. So, and so the section about learn more about each tree, I think we're in the process of revising that page right now, and we can't really give them the information about 176 trees, because that would be insane. But what we can do is give them a website where they can find out anything about any tree that they want to. So, I mean, that'll help them in other ways as well. So, there's that. And just wanted to say thanking Mike Ridgway, because
another volunteer.
Yeah, the Boy Scout project, which produced those posts with the identification, I think there were like 20 trees or something.
Yeah.
He put them in there, but we're finding that they got loose, and they were able to be pulled out. So Mike Ridgway went all by himself, and he put them all in with concrete, in such a way that it did not harm the roots of the tree.
Right.
So those are there permanently now. That is, a pretty cool
How
thing.
Many of those are there?
I'm sorry?
How many of those
There's
are there?
I think 15 trees were marked this way.
Wow.
And that was a Boy Scout project.
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
But we didn't really want him digging holes near the tree because of harming it.
Right.
So we could trust him to do it. And he did a nice job. He just had to replace two of them like that.
Yep. So there we are. And then ongoing work at the Arboretum. I wanted to show you what the George Washington tree looks like from Mount Vernon. Do you remember what it looked like when you all came down there? It was about this tall.
It was about that tall.
And it has, the
it's
posts.
About 10 feet tall now.
The posts are this high, and so it's
nice.
Yeah, it's coming along really well. We did treat it for scale last year. It got a little scale disease, and so we were able to treat it. Luckily, we've got Chris Marshall, who is qualified. He has
certified,
that's the right word. Qualified and certified to apply the proper chemicals and so forth. So, and then I also wanted to mention that at the Arboretum now, we're working in close concert with the EAC for the pollinator gardens that they are going to be placing there to support the Bee City, it's Bee City, USA. Yeah, Bee City, USA, also Bird Town, USA. So we're gonna be putting if they get their BCA grant, we're gonna be putting a pollinator garden.
So they're gonna take the turf out and create a bed, like a kidney-shaped bed that'll include the tree and the sign here.
Right, and then they're gonna plant native pollinator, perennials.
That's a nice area for
that. That sounds cool.
And also along they're going to, maybe in the fall, we're hoping if we can get the money and that we can get volunteers through the ECDC's Volunteer Day in September to plant along
the inside of the wall there. You see the wall? That drops down about 3 feet to the next level. And so they're going to put create long beds along the wall. It's an L-shape
thing. So there'll be a lot of pollinator information, and I'm hoping
some flowers.
Lots of beautiful flowers,
Some color.
And already there are the resurrection lilies.
Yeah,
lilies
are there.
We're avoiding disturbing those because they're kind of historical. Because they're neat. But Oh, I'm hoping that also in support of the Bee City thing, that we can also eventually include some education about native bees, because it is not the honeybees that we want to really promote. They're important, but they're not our native bees. They're not native. And what we need are native bees who are usually solitary bees. They don't come in hives. They live individually. And there are ways that we can promote those bees and their habitat. And it might involve, you know, maybe leaving some dead branches and, you know, like brush piles.
Not cleaning up all the leaves.
Not cleaning up all the leaves, because that's where they
habitat.
Nest.
Right,
yeah.
And overwinter.
And so that's something that maybe the Arboretum is one of the only places in the township where that would be appropriate to do. You know, like, this is the reason that these leaves are here. You know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, those are plans coming up. Here's something brand new. Tony, I believe, had told us about this PA Community Tree Assistance Program funding that he had gotten information about. And so we followed up on it, and we've had a meeting with the regional director of this, and he brought her out to the Arboretum and looked at it, and she thinks that that we will qualify.
We're eligible.
We are eligible. Yeah, we are eligible.
We'll
see. What is this about?
It is funding that allows us to possibly take down trees that need to come down. For example, the one in the picture there is a tree that needs to come down.
Yeah,
and it's something that is...
It's just alive at the top, right? It's a pine tree.
It's a pine tree.
You wouldn't know that.
Yeah, it's supposed to have leaves right now. Yeah, so it's kind of dead, and it's a liability, and it is something that would be expensive to take out. And so we are hoping that we would be able to acquire funding for this and a few other trees that are in jeopardy, and
possibly,
then possibly
even some pruning.
Some pruning,
which,
you know,
is very needed. There's a lot of dead wood in a lot of the trees, and some of it's, you know, public walks through there, so, you know, dead limbs can fall on people. So that may make that's another part of making us eligible, you know.
Would this be for township-owned properties, or this is for
residents?
This is the
Arboretum.
Oh, this is just for the Arboretum,
yeah.
Specifically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, believe it or not.
You're looking at the neighboring building there.
Yeah, that's that little ice house
or
whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. Right. Anyway, yeah, I mean, we had to do a little bit of research because it is only environmental justice areas that are eligible, so we did that research, and yeah, this particular property is in an environmental, I don't know why, but it is in an environmental justice area.
What does that mean?
So, I guess it means that it's maybe, I don't know, low income, possibly, low canopy, low income, I'm not sure. Might be just low canopy, I don't know, but somehow or another it is listed. And I'm not going to argue with
it's
that.
One of their it's their designation.
That's
it's right. NRC's designation.
It's
I don't know what it means.
Yeah. So we're happy about that because it allows us to be eligible for this funding. So we will see. I mean, there's no guarantee. It's a rolling fund thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that my understanding, which is vague, but my understanding is that it's kind of money that's in a pot that doesn't have anywhere else to go.
They want to spend the money.
They want to spend the money, yeah.
Right.
So we're hoping that our representative will be strong and, yeah, get us the funding.
For the funding.
So, yeah. Tree planting for spring 2026. Well, you all maybe were there. I don't know. I couldn't be there that day, but we are a Tree City USA for the 50th year, which is really quite an honor. And, you know, we planned these 5 trees, one for each decade, and then Jen Reck donated the bench, and it's got a plaque on it that says that it's for the 50th Tree City USA, and I think it's a pretty big deal. And I don't know who all was able to be there, because I unfortunately couldn't, but anyway, so we planted those trees on last Friday, 2 Fridays ago.
Yeah.
And there we all are. Dadgummit, those are familiar faces, aren't they? Yeah. Anyway, and then the bid planted, they took 4 trees that they paid for, and they're planting them around this bus terminal.
Bus stop.
Bus stop.
That's on
First Avenue near that one.
First quality.
Need first quality, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So that's what we did this year. We did not offer to the residents this spring because we knew this was coming, and also because they, for some reason, the timing was uncomfortable, so we just couldn't get it out there. So there we are. Any questions?
And Shade Tree Commission just does so much. You are constantly, it's not about just your meeting times. It is, you are boots on the ground, hardworking, so dedicated and committed to all things about the environment and trees, and you're greatly appreciated.
I do have one tiny statistic that I didn't actually get in there, but in 2025, the Shade Tree Commission put in 346 volunteer hours, man hours, which was worth $11,579 for what that's worth. In 2026, so far, we have put in 99 hours, which is worth $3,328.32. So.
That's at what rate now?
At the rate of $33.79 per hour. Yeah, right.
The other thing with Shade Tree Commission is the skill level of the board members that so blessed to have arborists and Barley, you with your PHS background, and that, yes, it's just, yeah, experts in the field that are taking care of this forest in the township.
And do you not look at the plans that come in?
Yeah,
we do,
the
yeah.
We
still
you didn't
yeah,
even
I should
mention
have mentioned
that.
That but,
you didn't even mention that.
That's not our favorite thing.
No, but it takes time and
it does.
Expertise.
It's important.
And it's important.
And
it's very important,
important
to us.
Absolutely, it
your
is
input
very important.
Well, Jared
that,
has
I
helped
that.
Us a lot with that, because we used to
okay.
we used to look over them for hours, figuring everything out.
Yeah.
And he narrowed it down to, look, I just need you to look at this and this and this. And mostly Chris Marshall's doing that for us.
Okay.
That's very important, because
yeah.
more
yeah.
and more at the Planning Commission, we're seeing developers coming in and asking for fee in lieu of the plantings,
yeah.
or we don't have enough space for the plantings. And the pushback now is, no, if you don't have enough room for the plantings, your building's too big. Or there's some other kind of issue here, maybe
right.
it, you know, it's stormwater management or whatever.
Yeah.
But we need that observation to tell us, no, they have space, or the building really is too big.
And on that same vein, one of the things that's been on our agenda periodically, well, every time practically, is that we feel that the fee in lieu that is being asked by the township is way low. It's much lower than many other municipalities.
What the cost of the trees would be to replace, you know.
But
even,
it's also,
yeah, even if it's 10 to 1, you know, if they take out 100 trees and we're just asking for 10 more trees, it's the cost of the tree and planting them is a lot.
That's actually calculated by our engineer. Township engineer, so
yeah.
we're going to have a chat.
So we'll have to go back.
We'll have a chat with him.
Yeah, well, it's worth looking at, because what it is not is a deterrent.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things
it's much
that
cheaper for them to pay the in lieu.
One of the things that is
yeah.
so important is that, and Carol actually had a conversation at our workshop meeting with a particular developer's representative who didn't want to hear about the trees.
Just like
trees. The stormwater aspect of trees just cannot be overstated. And the fact that you don't put them in or you want your fee in lieu really kind of messes up your neighbors. And I will just tell you from personal experience, we had a lovely oak tree out in front of our house that died. And we had it taken out. And as soon as that got taken out, I now have water in my basement.
That's it. Oh, that's absolutely
wow.
just one of many, many of the benefits. And the fact is that you can take out these beautiful giant trees and then you can put 50 teeny weeny ones in that are going to take 50 years, 100 years to actually be able to replace the benefit of that one
major
tree.
Setback. Yeah.
And,
and another observation, there are two parcels in the past 6 months where they are heavily overgrown because nothing had been done on there for years, and probably a lot of little weeds that just grew up into trees. However, the developers came in and basically wiped out everything.
Yeah.
And now how do we know how many trees to put back?
Yeah. Well, that happens before we even get to see the plant.
Yes.
And there is, you know, we really are volunteers. I mean, we cannot be the municipal arborists.
Understood.
So we can't go out and look at and survey.
Well, that's been our concern too.
Yeah, because it'd be good if we could inventory what is there before they even, you know, get approved plans or.
They don't want you to know what's there, because if you start putting a dollar amount on every 10-inch tree they take out, they're gonna, whoa, that's a lot of money.
That's okay.
Yeah, well, and no, the fact is it is what it is. You know, it's a natural thing. It is there. And it is a little bit discouraging for us to see that.
So we want to make it so that they think twice before they decide on taking the money.
And Chris has done some research on what other municipalities, he knows because he works with other municipalities a lot. And
yeah, I know for a fact, like with Radnor, they have what they call a heritage tree. I think anything over 30-inch diameter, they consider a heritage tree.
And Haverford,
and
too.
And if that a developer wants to develop on that land, he's got to have an arborist look at it and say, it's got an issue. It's hazardous.
It has dying. Fungus.
There's got to be a reason to take it out. And if there isn't, then you can't take it out. You got to work around it.
And you have to protect it during construction.
Yeah,
that's the other thing we see. You know, I mean, they're supposed to have tree protection zones around each tree that they're keeping. And I don't know that we see that either.
We don't have that many 30-inch diameter trees.
No, but
there's
any tree,
a few.
We have some old ones.
But any tree retained, you know?
I did.
Yeah. Any tree that's retained needs to have a protection zone.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. So there's issues that are sort of, you know.
Still in limbo.
You know, we used to call it the Upper Merion Sewer Authority, but its name was changed to the Sewer and Stormwater Authority. So we have certainly changed our focus,
uh-huh.
if you will, and made it a primary thing that you have to allow for stormwater. What are you going to do with stormwater? 50 years ago, when so many houses and things were built here, nobody thought about that.
No.
Nobody talked about stormwater and stormwater basins. And some of the places that you mentioned where you've given trees away, those places are just. I know that area. It's just flat.
Flat, devoid of trees. Yeah.
Void of trees, practically.
Well, it didn't matter so much back then because there was a lot of undeveloped land.
Yeah.
Not so true anymore. And
that's true. Right.
So we just need to be aware of it and do the best we can to try and keep things functioning the way they're supposed to function.
Thank you for everything that you guys do, all of you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your help.
Thank you. For sure. Well, we're gonna have to wrap this session up.
Yeah, I know, really.
This was important things to discuss and to enlighten us on. So thank you so much for all that you do. And at this time now, we're going to take a brief recess, and then we'll finish up with our final board for this evening. The Zoning Hearing Board will be with us back with us in a moment.